This week, today on SAFM.
So right now, a spectacle observed with bated breath by the world. And that was the Russian elections. What does it mean for South Africa at a time where alliances shape destinies? We're exploring the tendrils of friendship, power, and diplomacy. Lending us his expertise is Thembisa Fikude, a seasoned research fellow and a beacon of knowledge in international relations. Joining us as we dissect the implications, unraveling the reactions, and ponder the future of African-Russian ties in this ever-evolving geopolitical ballet. Themba, thank you so much.
Thembisa, thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, the recent elections in Russia, how do you perceive the relationship dynamics between African countries and Russia evolving?
Well, the relationship is going to continue strengthening for one main reason, that you've got the Wagner Group, which is basically owned and controlled by Vladimir Putin, very involved in Africa. And you've got BRICS that is also seeking to expand and also extend relations to other African countries. So because of that, you are likely, therefore, to have Russia's relations with Africa strengthening. And you've got some of Putin's defenders in Africa who continue to defend his invasion of Ukraine and other normalities in Russia. So as long as that continues to happen, you don't have any African country that protests Putin's actions in Russia, notwithstanding, of course, that he got that victory of 87%, which is an anomaly in any democracy. It's rare to have someone that popular and that loved by people. So as long as you have that and he continues to have his charm offensive in African countries, I think the relationship is likely to continue strengthening.
Interestingly, though, Thembisa, there's skepticism from the West regarding the legitimacy of those elections. Do you think there'll be an impact on South Africa's foreign policy and diplomatic relations with Russia, bearing in mind the skepticism that surrounds, like you said, there's this unheralded voting percentage that was so high?
No, I don't think so. But I think Putin is also praying for a different type of outcome in the U.S. elections, because if Trump does come in, you're likely, therefore, to have Putin having a new ally in the U.S., and that will impact on Ukraine, because Trump has made it very clear that he's unlikely to support U.S. support of Ukraine and continuing a provision of arms. So if that happens, it's going to be a plus for Vladimir Putin. In Africa, of course, I don't see anything happening. In fact, President Cyril Ramaphosa was one of the first to make a telephone call to congratulate Vladimir Putin, not, of course, withstanding that Navalny, or Alexei Navalny, one of the main political opponents, dropped dead somehow in his prison days, was walking. It's not the first one, by the way. A number of political opponents to Vladimir Putin and dissidents who are mainly based in the Western countries have died mysteriously. And no one has said a word in terms of that. Instead, we continue rubbing shoulders and congratulating him for garnering 87% of the vote. I mean, we only hear of those things in the Middle East and in other dictatorships in Africa, but you hardly hear them in democracies. So this is where we are at the moment. But I don't see any relations changing, particularly from the African countries.
So we know this high vote percentage, right? In light of that, how does the perception of democracy in African context compare with the Russian electoral process?
Well, Africa, unfortunately, there isn't democracy yet. One is the access in terms of elections. The number of people that are eligible to vote in many African countries are much, much more less, simply because it's many areas are inaccessible. I mean, we had not long ago the elections in the Democratic Republic of Congo, but actually the elections were not in the rural part and where the current conflict is taking place between the M23 and the Congolese rebels, assisted by South Africans. So, but still, we somehow managed to have a winner in those elections. So this is a challenge. So, but in Russia, on the other hand, Russia is almost a quasi-dictatorship. This time around, notwithstanding the size of the country and population, Vladimir Putin was basically the main contender. Others were just, you know, tokens. And those that had a chance of winning these elections either dead or are in exile. So these are two comparisons that we see. And of course, you are therefore likely to have some of these dictators in Africa moving closer to the Russians because, you know, they're birds of the same feather. So they share a lot of commonalities. And you are likely, therefore, to have many African countries strengthening the relationship with the European Union and Americans. I'm not saying those are the best countries, but at least they do insist on certain things, including free and fair elections. But with a superpower like Russia doing as it's doing, and you've got the Wagner Group that's roaming havoc in Africa, you are likely to have more and more African countries wanting to strengthen the relationships with Russia and indeed China.
Thembisa, then what then could be the long-term implications for Africa in maintaining strong ties with Putin's Russia, given the geopolitical landscape?
Well, I think it's going to be a very difficult one. I mean, Africa is a very competitive space at the moment. Everybody else is competing. Even the United States is kind of resuscitating a charm offensive in terms of winning certain African countries back into the fold, including countries such as Kenya and others. So it's a very competitive space. But at the same time, we see very aggressive involvement of both Russia and China in Africa. And I think because of lack of democracy and because of the similarity in terms of political culture between some of these dictatorships in Africa and Russia, you are likely, therefore, for them to be agitating towards forging new alliances with Russia.
Sure. And then we've also got, Thembisa, if you can discuss with us the implications of this Russian leadership's continuity, because there will be continuity now with Putin in power again, for the African economies and the political landscapes.
Well, African economy is, of course, likely to suffer because Russia is not offering much in terms of economy. China, on the other hand, is trying to penetrate Africa, is giving, you know, see no evil, hear no evil loans to an unconditional loan to African countries. But we still know that many of us in Africa are still, by and large, addicted to U.S. goods and services. We all consume goods and services from the United States. So United States, of course, you know, has been lacking in terms of its charm offensive in Africa, and as a result, opening a space for these two countries, China and Russia. So you're going to have that challenge coming in. South Africa is trying to balance things out, but again, it's also, you know, biting more than it can chew in terms of presenting itself as a superpower, tackling United States head on as if we can really do without United States. We've seen the rhetoric coming from the Department of International Relations and Cooperation, South Africa really tackling U.S. head on. And I'm afraid if United States was to, you know, implement sanctions or reduce its interaction economically with South Africa, we are likely to suffer. So, again, our foreign policy is ambitious, but I'm not quite sure whether with the new friends that we're making in the form of China and Russia, we can really replace the United States.
And I'm also wondering about, you know, Africa's stance, especially on global political issues, especially the African nations, including us, who have strong ties with Russia.
Yeah, that's going to be quite important. At the moment, I don't see Russia supporting us in any way or form in our own international relations. It was not one of the countries, for example, that was quite loud in supporting our stance at the ICJ when it took Israel. It took a very guarded position because of the relationship that it has with Israel, including many other countries. So we'll have to wait and see. But I think the only platform, of course, that could help South Africa is BRICS. As BRICS expands, you are likely to have a bloc thinking and a bloc politicking whenever necessary. But I don't think that will happen at United Nations level. We are likely to still have individual countries doing their own politics. Whether we're part of BRICS or not, I don't see all BRIC countries at all given time supporting our stance or position on international relations.
Tabisa, then how do us, South Africa, as well as African countries, balance their relations with Western nations while still maintaining strong ties with Russia, especially in the current global climate?
Well, diplomacy is key and proper politics. Unfortunately, South Africa tends to, although our foreign policy, by the way, is quite sound in terms of where we sit, but we tend to bite more than we can chew, and our communication is always flimsy. If you've heard, for example, how Dr. Naledi Pandor defended South Africa's position on the perceived support of Russia's invasion in Ukraine, it was just a mess, at least for the first couple of months when this occurred. And later on, of course, South Africa took a different position to say, no, they stand for peace and they are engaging both sides. But initially, we know what happened. Everybody else thought that South Africa was on the side of Russia because of the position. So we have a serious communication problems in South Africa when it comes to our foreign policy. Not long ago, I think a couple of days ago, Dr. Naledi Pandor was in the United States again. She came with a new statement while she was riding on a very high positive wave after what we did at ICJ on behalf of the Palestinians. She started talking about the rapprochement between South Africa and Iran and how we should also continue engaging Russia. I thought that was bad timing. If she could have avoided that, because you're digging yourself deeper into a quagmire. One, we've got Iran that continues to oppress its own people. Case of Mahsa Amini, a woman who was banged against a police van and eventually died, and suppression of protests and freedom of expression in that country, we all know about that. And this continued unprovoked attack of Russia and invasion of Ukraine. Now, you don't want to be in a position where you're seen to be, supporting or on the side of these countries that are basically violating basic rights of those people. So I think we have the problem with communication, and sometimes South Africa suffers from timing, of course, because we speak at any given time about any particular issue. I think right now, with what's happening in Israel and the positive position they've taken in terms of supporting the Palestinians, we should continue amplifying that and riding on that wave instead of opening other controversial discussions on international relations.
Absolutely, Thembisa. Now, considering, we mustn't forget that there's current economic sanctions imposed on Russia. Could there be potential repercussions for African economies that are closely linked to that country?
Well, most African countries are not benefiting much from Russia. Russia doesn't produce much, by the way, except, of course, exporting military hardware and mercenaries in the form of Wagner Group, because Wagner Group now is very big in Africa, supporting all the despots and rebels. Case in point, in Sudan, they work very closely with Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo, who is the leader of RSF, that's currently creating havoc in that country and in other African countries. So their export, or main export, is very destructive. The Wagner Group is known to have created many, many challenges in Africa. On the other hand, though, the United States continues with its soft power, its exportation of goods and services that benefit people. So I don't think that Russia's sanctions is going to impact Africa in any way or form, because, as I said, they don't really import much. So Africa is not really dependent largely on African goods and services. They are, on the other hand, gradually becoming addicted to Chinese goods, but the American goods continue to dominate retail, wholesale, and all other platforms that produce products in Africa. And I think if US was to take a different position, that's when I'll say we might suffer. But I don't think Russia's economic sanction will impact in any way or form in Africa, because, as I said, they're not really producing much nor exporting much in terms of goods to African continent.
Tabitha, what about Russian media and Russian cultural exports? Will that shape African perspectives? Hello, Tembisa. Oh, we seem to have lost Tembisa Fakude there. We're talking about, hopefully finding some serious, conversations about the African perspective when it comes to Vladimir Putin, him being, again, in the eye of the Russian elections. He's been incredible in his comeback, running a nation as such. So this is definitely going to be an intricate web of global politics there. And this is the Russian elections that we were talking to Thembisa Fakude about. And as always, you know, on SAFM, we'll continue the conversation as well as speaking about the ongoing conflict. And this time, Thembisa, I want to talk about the conflict in Ukraine, right? What should be the African perspective, and how can African countries, including ourselves, contribute to a peaceful resolution?
Well, the conflict in Ukraine is, for me at least, where it's set straightforward. You have a country, big country with big guns, that decided to invade another country because it intended or showed signs of making friends with other countries. So in this case, in Ukraine is accused of moving towards the West and likely to join NATO. And as a result, Vladimir Putin felt that it was a threat to the national interests of Russia, and it decided to invade. And as a result, he went on to kill hundreds of people, and he continues to accuse Ukrainians of being anti-Semitic, notwithstanding that Volodymyr Zelensky, who is the president of Ukraine, is a Jew himself. So he's gone in to do that. Now we know that Finland, for example, and Sweden, Finland shares a very long border with Russia, has since joined NATO, but we don't see Russia or Vladimir Putin going to invade Finland and Sweden for joining NATO. So that's all we said. And I think it's a straightforward, at least for some of us. But again, Africans have been conflicted in this regard. We know the number of Africans who have taken a different position, including South Africa, that has abstained, instead of really condemning the invasion. Instead, they took a fence-sitting position. So my view is that Africans need to, if we are to promote democracy in this continent, we need to start by this particular conflict, including what's going on in Israel. In Israel, we've taken a much more progressive position in terms of condemning Israel. We should do the same when it comes to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. It's an infringement on the rights and interests of the Ukrainians, and it shouldn't have done. It sets a wrong precedent. Imagine next time if South Africa decides to go and invade Swaziland or Lesotho because Swaziland or Lesotho wants to be friends with somebody else, and we justify it by saying, you know, you can't be friends because if you are going to be friends with any other nation, you might just threaten our interests, and as a result, we're going to come in and invade and take some of your land. This is the wrong precedent in international politics, and it's likely to encourage other countries to do the same. We know, for example, that countries such as China, India, and others have got similar ambitions of wanting to grab land that they claim to be their own. So to set a good international precedent, I think the African countries must take a firm position and condemn what's going on in Ukraine.
Thank you, Thembisa Fakude, for providing such a deep understanding of international relations and the African perspective, definitely shedding light on complex issues. And we're grateful for your time tonight on SAFM.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much.